Let us realize today that in your presence, Lord God, we are and should be nothing in our own eyes. But Lord, let us remember that even though we might be nothing in our own eyes, we might be nothing in the world's eyes, in your eyes we are giant killers. In your eyes we are more than conquerors. In your eyes we are overcomers. In your eyes we are greater than anything else, because we are called by the name of Jesus. And that name is a greater name than any other name that can be named. We are your redeemed. We are your saints. We are your sons and your daughters in this place. And that, Lord God, in eternity, Lord, we are great because you have made us so. And in your grace, in your mercy today, I pray, God, that there would be mindsets that would change and alter and shift. Lord, that those of us that have never ever seen the great, awesome, almighty destiny that you have in store for your people would have the cap, the lid taken off. That our paradigms, our mindsets would shift, and that we would see who we are in you. So Lord, today we give you glory. We thank you. We praise you. That in your presence, we are nothing in our own eyes, but we are great in yours. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just thank him for a minute. Just take a minute to thank him. Come on. Come on, just take a minute to thank him. No matter how you're feeling, no matter what you're worrying about, it doesn't matter what opposition you have, what giant stands against you. It doesn't matter if it's something that's been with you for many years, fighting against you for many years, seeking to pull you down. It doesn't matter, because we serve a God that elevates. We serve a God that lifts up. And when we humble ourselves under his mighty hand, he exalts us above all of our enemies. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can someone shout amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn around, look at two or three people and tell them something's about to change. Praise the Lord. You can take your seats. As you do, I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 21. And I have the tremendous privilege of being called by God into the ministry from nowhere, and to see growth take place in people's lives. I'm never more astounded and amazed, and all I can do is give God glory when I see people come in a certain way. You know, doesn't matter where you're from. Socially, you can be a doctor, a lawyer, a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker. You can come in from drugs or crime or alcohol or gangs or whatever. It doesn't matter where you're from. But wherever it is, most people that God has called this church to reach have either personally been challenged by you know, things that have tried to pull them down, or they have a family member or someone that they know that has been in a position where they've been tried to be pulled down. And so that's part of the body of Christ that we fulfill as a church. And we see amazing things take place within people's lives. We see growth take place in people's lives. And we're coming to a point now where it's time to increase our reach. Someone say, increase your reach. And it's time that we begin to see now other people. What happened in the early phases of this ministry, Victory Outreach, just to give you a little bit of history before we get into the word, is that God called a man called Sonny Argenzoni to go and reach out to the down and outs, the downcast, the outcast, the drug addict, the gang member, different people that weren't really being reached at the time. This was in the 1960s. And he went and he started to reach out to them. And what happened was people were getting saved. And how many of you know the ministry of Jesus Christ was always, you know, focused on the outcast, the poor, the downtrodden, the people that the world had kind of turned their back on. And what happened was that was his focus. Now watch this. That was his focus and his emphasis, but that wasn't how it ended. That was how things began in his ministry, and they should be a priority. But when you look through the Gospels and you read through the accounts of Jesus' life, he was surrounded by all different stratas of society. He had people that came to him that were attracted to him, that were outcasts, lepers, the woman with the issue of blood, blind men, people that couldn't walk, the lame, the poor, people that wouldn't have fitted into the system of the world in society at that point. And he would minister to them. And in fact, he would leave people to go and minister to them. But yet, what happened was, because he was focusing on that, other people would begin to be gathered around him. And his disciples included fishermen and tax collectors and various different people, government officials. Then there were, you read through the book of Acts and you begin to see that high officials started to come, business people started to come. In fact, there was a whole group of people that would gather around the mission to enhance it and to help it. Because how many of you know that God wants us to reach out to every level of society? Can someone say amen? But you start climbing a ladder from where? The bottom rung. And it is part of what we're called to do in this ministry, to reach out to people and give a lot of our time to people that no one else wants to reach out to and no one else believes for. And that's something that we're always going to do. But as we grow, then other people are going to be added. And there's going to be people that come to this church that are bankers and lawyers. There's people that are going to come. And we have them in our midst already. Business owners, sports people, media people, experts in their field. And the reason why God is going to do it is to enhance that mission so that we can increase our reach. Someone say increase your reach. And what God wants to do also, not only is he going to bring people from outside that are going to come and they're going to help. Amen. Because how many of you know, we've done so much with so little for so long. We know that God is in the house. Can someone say amen? And you can see what ministry has been done by just a few ex-students and ex-junkies and people that have come through the ranks. And you can see what's taking place. But when God starts bringing in a few people that have, you know, they've got a little bit more financial clout and they've got a little bit of expertise, there's going to be an acceleration that comes. But what God's going to bring people from outside. But also, what really blesses my heart is that God raises up people from the ground. In this ministry, you see people being raised up from grassroots level. You see people that come in and they come in as a student and they're all bewildered and bemused and they don't know what's going on. And the next thing, they're a doctor. Come on now. They're a lawyer. Come on now. They're studying for a PhD. They've got a master's degree. You know, our worship team's got more degrees than the Masons. But it didn't start there. But how many of you know God grows people? And he wants to grow people. He wants to grow our level of expectation. He wants to grow our reach. Not just our outreach, but our upreach. He wants us to understand who we are in him so that we can reach the level of potential that he has said that we could reach. Because there is no one in this place, I believe, that you've grown as far as you need to grow. Can someone say amen? If you think that you've grown as far as you need to grow, then you're on the slide down now, my friend. See, the thing is that God wants to take you from glory to glory to glory, right? He wants us to grow. He wants us to grow in our, you know, some of you have never been abroad. Some of you have never experienced certain things. Some of you have never done this. You've never done that. You've never seen this or known that. God wants to expand your reach, expand your consciousness, expand the level of your expectancy. Why? Why can I say that? Because God is bigger than anything that we could ever know or imagine. And his plans for us are greater than we could ever have hoped, we could ever have known. Amen. And God will blow your mind. I remember once we did a conference, and sometimes with conferences, what they've always asked us to do is provide security, right? Because of some of the people that we get that come into the church, and other churches and ministries want us to provide security. Come Victory Outreach, come and take care of it, just in case it kicks off. You know, because even our women's home is hard, if you know that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tough. You know what I mean? Strong, powerful. And once we was asked to help out to do the stewarding, right? It was stewarding, wasn't security, at a conference for the police and the fire brigade, right? Over there in, you know, the velodrome. So there we go. I'm like, yeah, whatever we can do to serve. So off we go and we get there. And all of our guys are around the place in their vests and all that, and they're standing at their posts. And these are dudes that have just come in the home, they've been in the home, they're ex-drug addicts, have been in jail, they've been messed up. And all of a sudden, in comes all the bigwigs in all of their uniforms with their brass and their caps and their this and their that, firemen and, you know what I mean, police chiefs and chief constables and inspectors and sergeants and, you know, commanders and all this. And so I'm there, I'm on the part of the guest thing, and we're there and we're talking to them and different things, and periodically I'd go around checking on everyone. Amen. And I was walking around, I remember walking, I think it was Sammy, and I went up to Sammy, and Sammy was standing there and he was in the home, and I said to Sammy, how you doing, man? He said, Pastor, in his broad Kilmarnock accent, which I'm not going to attempt. He went, Pastor, this is amazing. I'm having the time of my life. I'm blown away. I said, why? He said, an inspector, two inspectors and a sergeant just came up here and they wanted to go through to go to the toilet. He said, but I've been told that no one can come through. So I stood my ground and I said to him, I'm sorry, gentlemen, but you're not allowed through this way. You're going to have to go round now. He said, and Pastor, he said, they did what I told them to do. I mean, that's a humorous incident, but you can understand how sometimes God will blow your mind. They were always after him. Now he's telling them where to go. Hallelujah. But God wants us to become more. Can someone say amen? Not to do more. We don't have to do more to earn salvation or anything. We don't have to do that. Jesus has done it. It's paid in full. He's done what he needs to do. He's done it. His blood is powerful. Can someone say amen? It never loses its power. It doesn't matter if you're the older generation, the younger generation. Don't matter if you was dragged up in the streets and, you know, kicked out at dawn and came in at dusk and, you know, ate butter with everything and had chips smothered in lard and, you know what I mean? Didn't matter if you fell out of trees and hit your head and you didn't have a helmet when you went on a bike. It don't matter if you're that generation. It don't matter if all you ever had was three channels. Remember those days? Come on now. Three TV channels and all of them were rubbish. Come on now. Now we've got 3,000 channels. The young kids have got iPads, iPods. All we had was an eye patch. It doesn't matter what generation you're in, whether you're old or young. The blood of Jesus never changes. It never loses power. These young ones, they need to know what the blood of Jesus is the same. They need to know that the God of our salvation is the same. If he did it then, he can do it now. But God wants us to understand who we are in him, man. And we are not worms. We are not the tail. We are not the offscourings. We are not the downtrodden. Come on, somebody. We are not those things. And we don't have to bow down to anything other than Jesus Christ. And God wants us to learn what it is going to take for us to become what it is that he wants us to become. And there's a story of a young man in the Word of God called David. And this young man was someone that the world had forgotten about. He was out there, he was working for his father, looking after his father's sheep. And he was out there just in obscurity, taking care of business. And sometimes you can think, when you are, you know, in the church, when you're part of God's will, you can think that no one sees what you're doing. No one knows what you're doing. No one notices what you're doing. But how many of you know God is watching? And God saw him taking care of those sheep when the lion came and when the bear came and tried to take that which didn't belong to them. And he could have just given him a pass, let it slide. I'm just a young kid. But he didn't. He fought him. Amen. And that was me with a sling. Him, right? And he would use his sling and boom, he would, you know, he fought the lion, he fought the bear. And we know that God was watching him. And we know, and we're gonna have a look in a minute as part of the progression. But what I want to do by the end of this service is I want you to understand what it is that we need to do to become everything that God wants us to be. Okay? So let's start. 2 Samuel chapter 21. We've gone forward many, many years from the days of the shepherd field. Now David's a king. And not only is he a king, but he's a king with scars. He's a king that's been through some stuff. But he's a king that is a man after God's own heart. He's a king that he messed up, but he got up and he fessed up. Amen. And he didn't hide, and he was open to God. God blessed him. We get to this point, verse 15. And we see a group of people called the Philistines. And the Philistines were a people that the Bible speaks about as people that always came against the people of God. The Philistines came, they were a seafaring people. They probably came from the Aegean Sea somewhere. Some commentators believe that they were warring against Pharaoh, and Pharaoh, you know, resettled them somewhere and they ended up in Canaan. Other people believe that they came from, you know, around somewhere around the Mediterranean, the Aegean, but they didn't belong in the land of Canaan. They were interlopers. They were people that were coming in to try and conquer somewhere, to get a foothold. And they got a foothold along the coastal region of the land of Canaan. And they were there, and they were fierce enemies of the people of God. In fact, you see through the scriptures, you see it time and time again, that these people, these Philistines, would always be coming against the people of God. They were trying to oust them. They were trying to make them their slaves. They were trying to beat them. And they're a picture to us of some of the things that come against us as believers. And these things that come against us as believers, some of these things that come against us as believers are, they don't stop. How many of you know that? There are pressures, there is oppression, there are certain things that come against us that are so anti-God that they just want to destroy us. You can't make peace with this type of enemy. Can someone say amen? You've got to leave this type of enemy in pieces. Amen. There are some things that you can't make peace with. You just have to make war with. Amen. And the Philistines, you would never make peace with the Philistines. You had to make war with the Philistines. And you had to put them under the ground. Can someone say amen? But here they come, and we're going to read from verse 15. It says, when the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David and his servants with him went down and fought against the Philistines. And David grew faint. In other words, David the king, he got a little bit tired. It happens when you're fighting constantly and consistently. It happens. It happens to the best of leaders. It happens to the best of men and the best of women. It happens, that constant battling, constant responsibility, constant fighting can wear down a person. It's not wrong. It just is. It happens. It's natural. And David grew faint. He grew weary. He got tired. And then it says, then Ishbi-benob, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought he could kill David. What you see here is you see one of the Philistine giants. He was someone related to Goliath of Gath, the giant that we know that is so famous. He was from the Philistines. He was a champion. Ishbi-benob, he was a cousin or someone, we don't know, a relative. He was a giant. He was a son of the giant. He came from a place called Nob. That's where he came from. That's what his name means. His name means the man that came from the city of Nob, the town of Nob. And he was one of the sons of the giant. He was a big lump, and he had a spear that was, you know, it would be difficult for us to carry. Can someone say amen? A very, very big spear. And he also had a new sword. In other words, there was a new technique. There was something he was relying on. There was something that he had made especially. There was something that he was using out. Something that David had never come across before. And he saw his opportunity to come in and to kill the king of Israel. Right? You with me so far? Now, what could have happened if he'd have done that? What could have happened if Ishbi-benob, the giant, had come in? And when we're talking about giant, we're talking about 9 feet tall. We're talking about some obscenely big person. We're talking about someone that would make you quiver in your boots. Amen. Someone that is scary. Someone that is intimidating. Someone that is confident in his own ability. Someone that is trying to mess you up. Someone that, you know, naturally, you ain't going to mess with this dude. Come on now. And how many of you know this figures some of the things that we face as Christians? There are some things that are so big, so intimidating, that are so confident in their own ability to crush us like gnats, that naturally you ain't coming against those things. You ain't overcoming that stuff. Listen, you've been put in that bracket. You've had that label attached to you. You've been stuck in that place. And there is nothing naturally that you can ever do in your own mind, in your own strength, in your own ability that is ever going to make a difference or is ever going to defeat this enemy. And you can put your own label on this. There are many and they're individual to all of us, but they're big and they're scary and there's no way in your own right, in your own strength, you're ever going to be able to deal with it. Am I talking to anyone? Has anyone ever faced something that is so intimidating, so scary? It might be a doctor's report. Come on now. It might be that there's a, you know, an economic report that comes out. Oh, we're in an economic downturn. I'm sorry, but, you know, jobs are very scarce. You're never going to get a job. You're going to stay on the social forever. If you lost your job, I'm sorry. You see people out on the streets that are living rough, that used to be professionals, that used to have houses, that used to have cars. It's not everyone that was dragged up and has always been like that. Some people have lost their wives, have lost their kids, have lost everything. And they're there living on the streets. Come on now, right? All of a sudden, a giant came and pop, took them out. Some people were fantastic. They were great. They had it all together. They had it all going on. And within a minute, something happened and boom, everything was wiped out. And now naturally, what are they going to do to be able to reverse that and to rise up from that? There are certain things that come against us that naturally there's nothing we can do. And they generally get us when we're tired, when we're weary. That's what happened with David. And this massive giant came at him, saw his opportunity, and knew that if he could take out the father, the family was going to suffer. He knew that if he could take out the boss, the company was going to fold. He knew that if he could take out the coach, then the team was not going to reach its potential. He knew that if he could take out the pastor, then the church was going to suffer. And he came with a new technique. He came with a new sword. He saw his opportunity and he was about to jump in. When? When? One of his men stepped up. Now, in the world, watch what could happen. In the world, it's dog eat dog. I mean, if you know that. How many of you've been in, you know, in a situation in the world where it's dog eat dog? Everyone's maneuvering for position. Come on now. Whether it be on the streets, whether it be in work, whether it be, you know, the teacher's pet, whatever. Come on now. And everyone's working an angle to try and make their way up the ladder. Am I talking to anyone? It's dog eat dog out there in the world, man. Are you with me? So imagine in the world, all of a sudden, the boss is having a wobbly one, right? And you're underneath and you want the office in the corner. Come on now. You want the penthouse office, right? You want the bigger car allowance. Come on now. You want to be the teacher's pet. You want to get better grades on your exams. Hello. You want a ministry where people know you and you can sit at the front and you can do all that stuff. And in the world, in the natural, what happens is this. David grows faint. Oh. The giant comes in, sees his opportunity. Aha! Right? David's men that are around him in the world, they also see the opportunity. And instead of stepping in, they step back. Because if the king's gone, whew, we're going to need a new king. And here I am. Huh? Go ahead. So let the giant have his way. In fact, let me point out a little bit where he ain't got no armor. That's how the world does it. But I want to thank God that that's not how it happens in the kingdom of God. Because in the kingdom of God, what happened was David was faint. Ishbi-benob thought that he had an opportunity. No. Aha! Come on, work with me. Colin and Brian, come forward, please. Hallelujah. Brian's going to be David. I need to show this. Because the Bible says that he was a young, ruddy, he was a ginger-haired little fella, David. That's what the Bible says. He was ruddy-haired and good-looking. And he's already said that he's good-looking and he's got red hair. Hallelujah. So he's David. Now go down on one knee because you're feeling faint. We need a giant. Who can be the giant? Colin's the giant, all right? Because he's very tall. You're the giant. So David's faint. In comes the giant. Aha! Right? Mark? But there was a man called Abishai. Abishai's name means my father is a gift. Right? Abishai was someone that David had had with him for many, many years. Abishai was a commander of his armies. He was there in leadership. He was helping out. He'd frustrated David before. I've got all the scriptures to back it up. His brother Joab used to mess everything up. They was, you know, they'd do stuff and sometimes he'd be like, what are you doing? Abishai. But Abishai was there. Amen. He was right there. He was right by his side. And he knew that his blessing, he wasn't going to be the king. Because only God anoints the king. Only God emplaces the king. But if the king was lost, the kingdom was going to crumble. Because it would have no leadership. It would have no headship. So he knew that his king was getting ready to be taken out. Now his king at the time was tired because that's what happens. From time to time. But his king was a giant killer. In fact, his king was the only giant killer in the kingdom. You got this? Right? And he did it when he was a kid. And then he'd raised up in the kingdom, learning on the job and seeing everything come about and making mistakes and doing his thing, but he was still God's anointed. And Abishai had seen that. He'd been there in the cave of Adullam. He'd been there in the cave when David was running away from the old King Saul and he set up in a cave right there. And the Bible says that all the dispossessed and the disinterested and the disinherited and the degenerate and the lunatics, they all came, about 400 of them. And David became captain over them and he began to disciple them in the ways of the Lord. From there came David's mighty men. And from there, that was the birthing, the seed of a kingdom that was going to be established, whose seed was going to be established for eternity, from where Jesus, the Messiah, was going to come from, the Savior of the world. Salvation was going to come. But if David died then, you're tired, man. It's all right to rest. He's getting really faint right now. He's going red and everything. Praise the Lord. It's all right. Swoon, brother. So what happened was, here it is. Here's the situation. The situation is that the giant killer is on his knees. He's feeling faint. He's feeling weary. It happens. It ain't wrong. It don't mean that he's bad. It just is what it is. And the giant comes in. Aha! And Abishai is watching. Where is Abishai? He's close enough to see what's going on. Usain Bonob right there. I don't know about anything else. Huh? Huh? It should be Robert Ruddock. Praise the Lord. For the benefit of the CD, for the CD or the iPod or the podcast, you have to be here, man. But it's good. Can someone say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Someone's listening. They're going to be listening from Sweden. We have people listening from Sweden. God bless you in Sweden. Canada. If you're listening in Canada, Mexico, gloria a Dios, qui vive, a su nombre, in Switzerland, hallelujah, in America, North America, South America, in Europe right now, in Ireland, they'll be listening next week, glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, amen. Sometimes you've got to be here. So there he goes, aha, right, but then next, Abishai. The Bible says that Abishai stepped in and killed the giant. Step in and kill the giant. Hey! Now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Stay down, man. You're dead. Hallelujah. Once you kill a giant, you don't let the giant get back up. Come on now, you don't put the giant to sleep, you put him to death. You don't put the giant to bed, you put him to death. He was dead. The Bible says he was dead. If the Bible says he was dead, he was dead. Whatever the Bible says, he's doing good. Now watch this. You can get up now. Watch this. Come here. Now there's two giant slayers. Now, watch this. In serving his leader, he'd stepped up to be able to do the things that his leader had done. Right? In stepping in, he had the opportunity to step in and pull him down. He had the opportunity to step in, right, or step back and let him be killed. But if he'd have done that, the kingdom would have lost all of its giant slayers. But instead, he stepped up. And in stepping in, he became a giant slayer. Ooh, come on now. In stepping up, all of a sudden, he stepped up a level. And he became someone now that was famous in the kingdom as being a giant slayer. Now we got two giant slayers. Now there are two people of renown. Now there are two men of note. Now the enemy better watch out. Because if one can put 1,000 to flight, all of a sudden, there's a multiplication of effectiveness that's taking place just by one man stepping up and stepping in and doing the right thing. All of a sudden, everyone... Sorry, you can get up now. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. Praise the Lord. It's behind you. One of them moments. Now we have two giant slayers. Then, read on. It says, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then watch this. The men of David swore to him, saying, you shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. In other words, you know what that means in terms that we can understand today? It's time that we stepped up and did some of the things that you've been doing. It's time that we stepped up because we know that the role has changed. We know we need you in a specific role, in a specific place. Many of the things that David had been doing, now his men started to step up and do. That's growth. That's the increase in the kingdom. That's expansion. That's increasing your reach. The proof is this. Watch this. Now it happened afterwards that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. How many of you know the Philistines don't stop coming back? They will come in any and every generation. The enemies of God are the enemies of God, and they will be coming in every generation. When David was a kid, they were coming. Before he was on the scene, they were coming. Now he's getting older, they're still coming. Now they come back again. The things that you faced, your kids are going to face. But are they going to face them with a giant killer in front of them? Oh, come on now. Are they going to have the witness of someone that has overcome, someone that has pressed in, someone that has elevated, someone that has seen more, believed more, gone for more, reached for more, understood more, someone that had become more? Because what they see, they're going to be following. Philistines came back again. Then Sibbekai. Ooh, come on now. Sibbekai. Sounds like a funky name. Huh? Sibbekai. Come on now. Then Sibbekai, the Hushathite, killed Saph. Or you take the H off, Sap. Watch this. Who was one of the sons of the giant. It was another giant. All of a sudden, this dude Sibbekai steps up and whap. Oh, yeah. Big old dude, are you? Come on now. You know what I mean? Back in David's day, when David was a kid, all of Saul the king and all his champions ran away from Goliath of Gath. They looked at him when he was rebuking them and pulling down the name of their God. They ran away. And they were looking at him saying, man, he's too big to fight. But then up stepped this little ruddy-headed kid that had learned his way, that had made his bones in the shepherd field, that had killed the lion and the bear, that did things unnoticed in secret, that fought some battles when no one else was around. And then when it came time for a public battle to be fought and the giant to be standing there, he'd already made his bones in secret. He'd already prayed his prayers in secret when the pastor weren't there and the director weren't there, and your husband and your wife weren't there, and your religious friends weren't there. He'd already dealt with some stuff. And he stepped up, he said, everyone's running away from you because they think you're too big to fight. Let me tell you right now, in the name of my Lord, I think you're too big to miss. Come on. Whap. You come at me with sword and spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord of hosts. You're going down, giant. Then Abishai has killed a giant. Everyone's like, Abishai is a giant slayer. And Sibbekai, another giant comes, everyone's queuing up. It's a giant coming. Back in the day, everyone would be like, oh, there's a giant coming. Now they're like, where? Come on. Give me a coat on. Come on. Wait. Sibbekai killed a giant. Now there's three giant killers in the house. Now they're on a roll, man. Huh? I mean, you know, for hundreds, if not thousands of years, no one thought that they could ever climb Mount Everest. Till someone done it. Now there's thousands of people do it. Have like, yeah, let's have a little way day. Let's have a team building exercise. What are we going to do? Climb Everest. Japanese businessmen and all that, to put it on. Yeah, let's do it for Christmas. Thousands of people doing it. Remember the 4-minute mile could never be broken? Or what was it, the 5-minute mile? What did Roger Bannister break? The 4-minute mile. No one could ever break that. There is no human that can run that fast. Unless they have cheetah inside of them. Once he broke it, right? Within 6 months, about 40 people have broke it. Now it's nothing. Now even Pastor Kevin's going to break that. Even little Brian's going to break that. Come on, somebody. Even you, when you go out jogging, you know that you can do it. Because someone went before you and they paved the way and they made it possible and they showed you that you could become more, that you don't have to stay the same, that you don't have to be down there when God says you should be up there. Now the giants are coming. They don't stop. I mean, even though the enemy don't stop. But the enemy don't learn no new tricks. The enemy is not the creator. The enemy is created. Come on now. All he can ever do is be a facsimile or a falsehood or a fake of what it is, a counterfeit of what it is that God has done. So he comes in the same ways. Even with a new sword. Still a sword. So he comes again. Again there was a war at Gob. With the Philistines. Oh, but now we're moving. Up jumps Elhanan. Uh-huh. Come on now. The son of Yair, Oregrim, the Bethlehemite. One of David's cousins, no doubt. And he killed Goliath's brother. Goliath's brother, his brother's dead. He wants revenge, man. He's coming looking for revenge. All of his mates and all of his big giant clan, they're all getting topped. But here he comes. He wants a bit of revenge. Where's Abishai? He ain't there. All right, good. Where's Sibbekai? He ain't there either. Where's David? Oh, he ain't there. There's no giant killers here. Watch this. I'm coming to get my revenge on the people of Israel. But he didn't realize that you didn't have to have a giant killer there because everyone knew that it was possible now. So when he came in to get a little bit of revenge, he got more than he could bargain for. He bit off more than he could chew. And when he stepped in, Elhanan stepped up, said, it's my turn. Joke. Down went Goliath. Boom. Goliath's brother. Amen. Now Goliath's brother's gone. Yet again, there was war at Gath. They don't learn. Come on now, they've come at you, they think they come at you, they come at you, they come at you, they come at you. But how many of you know, every time your brother and your sister shows that they can overcome one of the enemy's schemes, that gives you a little bit of hope, that gives you a little bit of a look, that you know what, they ain't no different to me. We're the same under God. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same Word of God. We have the same blood of the Lamb. We have the same name of Jesus. If they can do it, then I can do it. If they are the same, one of them come back again, thought, right, let me have a little try. And there was a man of great stature who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot. Nightmare buying socks. He stepped up, he thought he could, you know, if 6 toes, man, 6 fingers. I mean, you know, you've got to thank God for your fingers. Because you can always count on them. Hallelujah. He stepped up. Freak. Another giant. But now he's got a freaky giant. How many of you know there's been some giants come that had all the right bits and bobs. Now there's a freaky giant come. Every now and again, the enemy might throw a little freaky curve in. He might bring in something that's going to get you going, whoa, what is that? My goodness, that's a weird one. He might bring in a little weird one, a little curveball. But how many of you know, a giant is still a giant. An enemy of God is still an enemy of God. And no enemy of God deserves to stand. No enemy of God deserves to win. No enemy of God deserves to take that which God has given to you. No enemy of God, no matter how big or how broad or how wide or how scary, can overcome you if you have the name of Jesus, if you are covered in the blood, if you are filled with the Spirit, if you have the Word of God, there is nothing that can stand. So when he defied Israel, when he come against the church,
David's nephew, his little nephew, Jonathan,
stepped up.
One of the gang. Come on now.
See, this thing ain't just geographical. This thing is not just in one level of society. This thing doesn't just belong to the old and the bold. This thing is also available for the young, for the youth, for the up and coming, for the ones that come from a different generation. See, the same power of God to be an overcomer, to be a giant killer, to be someone that goes beyond. It goes down through generation, from generation to generation. And the gang started rising up, and they started killing a few giants, and the young men and the young women started to rise up, and they started to take a little bit of ground, and they started opening some businesses, and they started running a few discipleship homes, and they started reaching into their generation, and they started making a stand for righteousness in this world where everything is coming against them. And they rose up, the young ones rose up and took out the giant. These four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Woo! So where are you at? What giant's been intimidating you? Pulling down your relationship with God? Come on now. Is it a person that's been coming against you? Talking smack about your leaders? Come on now. Pulling down. Well, you go to church all the time. What are you? Now, where's your duffel coat? Come on now. What, you wear sandals now? What do you mean you ain't going to come out clubbing with a Saturday night because you've got to go to church Sunday? What do you mean? Well, you read that book. What's the matter with you? What institution? What mindset? What intimidation? What temptation comes against you and tries to intimidate you away from God and tries to besmirch and besmear God's word and God's will and God's people and God's power and God's whatever it is? Understand that you just stand. I ain't got nothing much going on, but you know what? I ain't got to have much going on, but I'm standing here in the name of Jesus. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to take place. But I know that if you come against me, you come against my God. If you come against my church, you come against my God. If you come against my leadership, you come against my God. If you come against my brother or my sister, you're coming against my God. And I am not going anywhere. You might rush me. You might come at me. You might have a new sword. You might have many, many fingers and toes. You might be a weird freak. You might be something unusual. But let me tell you right now that me and my God are a majority. And I've seen it done. And I know that it can happen. And I know that I don't have to bow down. And I know that I can get the victory. And I know that I can overcome. And I know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I know that greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. And I know that my God is greater. My God is stronger. I know that his name is above every other name. I know that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. I don't care if you intimidate me. I don't care if you talk bad about me. I don't care what you think about me. I am listening to the voice of my God. I want to do his will. I'm playing for an audience of one. I want to get well done, good and faithful servant. Come on, everyone, stand to your feet. Lift up your hands. Worship team. You ain't too old, you ain't too far gone, you're not too young to be a giant killer. Whatever it is that is facing you, whatever it is that is standing in the way of your destiny in Christ, whatever it is that they've said you can never do, if God says you can do it, then you believe the voice of God. If God says he wants you to do it, then you obey him. And you watch as mountains move. You watch as strongholds crumble. You watch as things come down. You watch as giants lay face down in the presence of the living God. You watch as intimidation melts. Arise, O God, and let your enemies be scattered. Let all those who fear you flee from before you. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. Give a big shout. Come on, give a big victory shout. Give a big victory shout. Come on, give a big victory shout.
There's giant killers in the house. There's overcomers in the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Overcoming addiction, overcoming depression, overcoming joblessness, overcoming your background, overcoming your limitation, overcoming what everyone said about you, overcoming your label, overcoming. Come on, lift up your hands, begin to praise God right now. Begin to praise God right now. Come on, let's sing this song. Let's sing this song. Something shifting amongst God's people. Something shifting in God's people. We want to make an impact for the kingdom of God and for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Your life counts. Your life matters. It don't matter where you've come from. It matters where you're going. He has a plan for your life. The devil is a liar. To you, you tell him right now, you be silent, you be quiet, you shut up, you be still. The Lord rebuke you. Come on, let's sing. Come on, let's sing this song as a church. Hallelujah. Mean it.
You are always fighting for.
Believe it.
Heaven's angels all around. My delight is found in knowing that you wear the victor's crown. You're my helper, my defender. You're my savior and my friend. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. At the mention of your greatness, in your name I will bow down. In your presence fear is silent, for you will. The victors, let your glory fill this temple. Let your power overflow. By your grace I live and breathe to worship. The victor's crown. Let your glory fill this temple. Let your power overflow. By your grace I live and breathe to worship. Hallelujah.
As if you have ever struggled with a limitation, be it self-imposed, because you knew no better, be it put upon you externally by people that didn't understand the way that God works. Maybe you've struggled with that limitation. Maybe you never ever thought that you could amount to it, that you couldn't achieve it, that you couldn't break it, you couldn't get to it. Let me tell you right now, God wants to raise up people in this place that are going to take this world by storm. He wants to raise up business owners. He wants to raise up sports club owners. He wants to raise up media presenters. He wants to raise up people that are in high echelons of politics and of business. And he's going to do it with the foolish things of the world. It don't matter what background you came from. It matters where God says he wants you. So I want to challenge you right now. I believe some of you are going to be missionaries. You're going to be pastors. We're going to send churches out from this place. There's going to be pastors' wives and teachers and evangelists. But also, we want to extend our reach. And we want to get people that are born again of God's Spirit, that are overcomers. We want to get them right there in the BBC. We want to get them on the council. We want to get them in the city. We want them in the banks and in the lending institutions. We want them in the education. We want Christians in adoption agencies. We want Christians at every sphere of society, because Christianity, Jesus, His Spirit, is not just a sphere, it is the very atmosphere of life. And he wants us to shine as lights in the midst of the darkness and perverseness of this generation. Wherever you are, wherever you're at, take the limits off. Reach out and let God take you to where he wants you to be. My challenge to you is this. If you have struggled with limitation, if the giant of intimidation has faced you down, if you've never become that which people have projected for you to become, or maybe you have, but you know that there's more, I want you to face that giant. I want you to look it in the eye today. And I want you to say, you know what? You come at me with your strength and your weapons, and I'm coming at you with God. I'm coming back at you with Jesus. And so you better watch out, because intimidation, limitation, accusation, you're going down. So if that's you, you come out and you just make a stand, and you look that giant in the eye and you said, listen, giant, you're as big as you're ever going to get, but I'm still growing. Come on, let's sing that song again right now, just before we close the service. Wherever you're at, come on, lift up a song of praise. Lift up a declaration of praise. Lift up the name of Jesus. Lift him up right now and say, God, you are great. You are worthy. Every hard thing must come down. Every stronghold must be broken. Jesus, he said, you're going to have trouble in this world. He said, but cheer up.